Good morning. Please take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Genesis. We will be looking at that passage which was read starting in Genesis chapter 11, verse 27. The first 11 chapters of Genesis present a broad, sweeping view of the early history of mankind. Once sin and death entered the world, mankind headed downhill. Rebellion was followed by judgment, first at the flood when every indication of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil all the time. It's Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Then there was the judgment at Babel when men refused to scatter over the earth as God had commanded them. Rather, they sought to make a name for themselves in a tower reaching to the heavens. But a thread of hope also stretches through these chapters, beginning with the promise in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when God cursed the serpent. The seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head. And hope is kept alive as we read of Enoch who walked with God. And then there was the miraculous rescue of Noah and his family in the ark, followed by the promise to Noah never again to destroy the earth by flood. Even the spread of nations after the confusion of language at Babel contains its thread of hope. As we learned last week from Acts 17, God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. The genealogical list in chapters 5 and 11, though boring reading for many, represent and trace this thread of hope. There would be a descendant, a seed of the woman that would crush Satan. And this line is traced to a special man along the way. We are introduced in the text today to Abraham. He's not called that yet. At this point, his name is still Abram, and his wife is Sarai. And she will later receive the name Sarah. Abram is one of three sons that are mentioned of Terah, a descendant of Noah's son, Shem. Although the text would make it appear that Abram, Nahor, and Haran were perhaps triplets, or at least that Abram was the oldest, this is not the case. It's typical in the Old Testament when there are people, descendants listed, the most important one is listed first, not necessarily the oldest. And Abram was listed first as the most important one of these three sons. Nahor, or perhaps Haran, was the oldest and was born when Terah was 70 years old, according to verse 26. But if you look down at verse 32 and then in chapter 12, verse 4, do a little calculation, you will come up with Terah being about 130 when Abram was born. He was not the oldest, but he would be the most important in the line of Terah. But such things are not the reason why Abram was special. There are two reasons which stand out in this text that explain his specialness. The first reason is Abram's faith and his resulting obedience. Abram believed and obeyed God. This places Abram in the category with Abel, Enoch, and Noah. It puts Abram fourth after those three men in the list in Hebrews 11 of examples of those who had faith. We heard that this morning. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. God called Abram to leave his home and his family, and he obeyed. It may appear from chapter 11 that Terah was at the center of the move to Haran, but that is not the explanation we read elsewhere. In Acts chapter 7, we can read Stephen's summary of Jewish history. Stephen had been accused of a number of things and was brought before the Sanhedrin, and he was defending himself. And he starts with this fairly lengthy history of the Jewish nation. He starts out in verses 2 to 4 this way. Brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. Leave your country and your people, God said, and go to the land I will show you. Therefore, I believe the NIV is right as we come to chapter 12 in interpreting the phrase as a past perfect. The Lord had said to Abraham, leave your country. And so Abram left. Abram and his family left Ur of the Chaldees because God had appeared to him and told him to leave. Now, Terah may be described as having taken Abram and his family to Haran because he was the head of the family. And it could be an indication that even though Abram was the one who had pushed the decision to leave, that as the head of the family, he was taking his family. Or it could be that God providentially caused Terah to decide to go to Haran, coinciding with the move which Abram had decided to make in obedience to God. We don't really know for sure why, but it's clear from other texts that God brought Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees. If we could flip to Genesis chapter 17, Nehemiah chapter 9, these look back to that time, and it says that God brought Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. Now, we should not think too quickly that leaving Ur was easy. A number of sites have been suggested for Ur of the Chaldees, but the traditional site is still strongly favored. And archaeological excavations there have shown that Ur was a sophisticated and wealthy walled city. In some of the literature I have, they even had pictures of children's games that they found, board games. For those days, it would have been comfortable living in Ur. But Abram believed God, and he obeyed God, and he left Ur. We should also not think of Abram's family as supportive at this time. Yes, well, if God has called you, certainly you should go. Even Terah may not have been supportive, although he was the one that headed to Haran. In Joshua 24, verse 2, it says that Terah and other forefathers worshipped other gods when they lived beyond the river. Terah was not a worshiper of Jehovah. Abraham was not going to get much support from him to follow after some strange new god. God also called Abram to head to a country that he did not know, and he obeyed. It's possible that God's direction to Abram came in steps. It's very possible that Abram did not know where he was heading when he left Ur. And this might be the meaning behind the instruction about a land that I will show you. Just get up and leave, and in the process, I will show you where you'll end up. He did not know where he was going, according to Hebrews 11, verse 8. Haran was a logical next step. The name of that town means road. It probably is an indication that it was an intersection of trade routes. And this would be a sensible place to wait for God's next direction. Okay, I've left Ur, I've gone here. Where next, God? Heading into the unknown requires faith. For Abraham, it was faith in God. Abraham trusted God to make good on his promises. He trusted God to take care of him. He trusted God to be doing the best for him. God promised to make Abraham a great nation and to give that new land to his offspring. And Abram believed God. The strength of Abram's faith is seen in what might seem an incidental comment until the greater story of Abraham's life is known. Chapter 11, verse 30 says, now Sarai was barren. She had no children. Sarai was not capable of having children. As we read through Genesis, this will become increasingly clear. They will wait decades before she finally will have a child miraculously. God made promises to Abram that had no human hope of fulfillment. How would he become a great nation? God just promised, get up, go to this other place, and I'll make you a great nation. A great nation? I have a wife who can't have children. Go to this new land, and I will give it to your offspring. To my offspring? What offspring? I can't have children. Abraham might even have been tempted to blame God for Sarah's barrenness. People of that day typically associated both fertility and barrenness with the work of the gods. But Abraham believed Jehovah God and trusted God. Without spite, he didn't think, well, God, why'd you do this? It's all your fault anyway. He believed God, and obeyed him. Faith and obedience stand out in these early chapters of Genesis. That's one of the reasons why I believe Abraham is marked here as special. These early chapters are otherwise filled with examples of disobedience. There is Enoch and there is Noah, but look at the rest of those chapters. Adam and Eve had disobeyed. Cain disobeyed, killed his brother. Mankind disobeyed and filled the earth with wickedness. Ham acts ungodly. God had told the descendants of Noah to scatter and fill the earth, but they disobeyed. Any example of faith and obedience stands out in these chapters. But that latter example is of particular note. Do you remember as we talked last week about those builders in the plain of Shinar? Remember what they wanted to do? They wanted to make a name for themselves. To build that great tower to make a name for themselves. And what did God promise Abraham? I will make your name great. I think there's a purposeful contrast between what men attempted to do in their own strength and what God promised to do by grace to Abram. He simply needed to trust God, which he would demonstrate by obeying. The challenges to faith and obedience today are very similar to what Abram faced. God asks us to believe when we cannot see the results. There are many examples we could draw upon in our lives. I think over the last 30 years, one of those for us has been child raising. And it's one I've often given as an example. You don't know if you got it right until it's too late to do anything. Once the children are grown and out of the house, then you find out whether you were doing the right thing. So all you can do is trust God and go to His Word and say, well, what does God want me to do with my children? How am I supposed to raise them according to God's Word? And you trust God that what He has said, He will do and is right. But there's so many other ways that we need to trust God when we don't see the results. We're to forgive, even when we say, well, why should we forgive? Things that are uncomfortable. God asked Abram to do things that were not comfortable at all, to leave Ur, leave his family. He wants us to tell the truth when it hurts, when it promises no human advantage. Well, I could lose my job for telling the truth. Well, it'll cost me money if I tell the truth. Why should I do this? Well, just because it's uncomfortable doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. This was the challenge that Abram had, and it's the challenge that we face. If we want to be obedient to God, it means being obedient even when we don't see the results ahead of time and it's uncomfortable. God asked Abram to forsake things that were dear to him, and he did so. And he asked the same thing of us. Yet he promises us greater blessings as he did for Abram. He says, you must love the Lord your God. You must love Christ greater than family. But he promises, if you leave your family, I'll give you even more, hundredfold for what you leave. He told his disciples, follow me and I'll take care of you. I'll give you all that you need. But that takes trust. Because we don't see how he's going to fulfill it. We don't know for sure in our own strength, humanly, how is this going to happen. But we believe God. Like Abraham, we need to believe God and to show that by obeying. There's a second reason why Abram stands out as special in these verses. Others so far have been blessed by God. That is not unusual in these chapters. It's not frequent, but Abel was blessed by God. Enoch was blessed by God. Noah, Shem, Japheth received blessings. But Abram is the first one to whom God promises that he will be a blessing to others. Through Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed. This is the first time in Genesis. I believe that this promise reflects back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Here is a reminder that God has not forgotten his promise. Although God has cared for individuals along the way, He has not lost his concern for all the peoples of the earth. God will deal with the problem of the curse. Abraham is a promise. If you have a string, maybe it's a knot on that way. A reminder, yes, this string thread of hope is here. There's a promise of a blessing to others. This promise to Abraham primarily, of course, looks forward. Abraham will be a blessing. Through Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And there are two ways in which all the families of the earth, all peoples, are blessed through Abraham. First, Abraham has become an example of faith. Paul writes about this in Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 to 9. Paul writes, "Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you." So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. We can look to Abraham, as we have just done this morning, and consider him as an example of faith. Faith that is necessary to please God. The writer of Hebrews says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And Abraham, with others, stand out as an example of faith. And he is a blessing because of that. Those who have faith in God are blessed along with Abraham. The second way that all are blessed through Abraham is foundational. This is why having faith like Abraham can be a blessing. Abraham's seed or offspring also mentioned in Galatians, is Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, "The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person who is Christ." Now, seed, translated that way in the NIV in Galatians, is the word which the NIV translates in Genesis as offspring, or descendant, or descendants. Ultimately, it is Jesus Christ, the offspring of Abraham, humanly speaking, that the world can be blessed. In Genesis 22, verse 18, God focuses his promise to Abraham more precisely than in chapter 12. "In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." The answer to the curse, back in Genesis chapter 3, is found finally in Jesus Christ. And the thread of hope that started in Genesis chapter 3 leads through Abraham to his seed, Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness of sin. In Jesus, there is freedom from the bondage of sin. In Jesus, God has paid the redemption price for the world. God entered humanity through a Jewish virgin. He took on flesh as a descendant of Abraham. And through him, salvation is available to all. But the blessing which is available to all through Abraham's seed will only be realized by those who follow Abraham's example of faith. The promises are given only to those who believe. Abraham would not have been blessed if he had not believed God and obeyed. His obedience was a demonstration of his belief. The call of Abraham in these verses form the foundation for what is called the Abrahamic covenant. We will look at this in more detail in Genesis chapter 15, when it is specifically called a covenant. Here in Genesis 12, 1 to 9, we find the basic elements which are repeated numerous times in Genesis. There is the promise concerning Abraham's descendants. He said, "I will make of you a great nation." There are the promises of blessing. "I will bless you, make your name great. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you." There are the promises of blessing through Abraham. You've already heard from Genesis 22 that that is repeated. And there is the promise regarding the land being given to his descendants in verse 7. Today, as we begin to work through the chapters that deal with the life of Abraham, I would like to remind ourselves of these two lessons we can learn from the unique qualities of Abraham. His faith and obedience, and the blessing that was to come through him. We often struggle with difficult times. Although if we look around, we can find others easily enough whose struggles are worse than ours. But that doesn't remove the challenges which we face. It is in those challenges, that faith is demonstrated. It takes little, if any, faith to do those things which we like, to do those things which we understand. It takes little, if any, faith to do those things which others are doing or which others encourage us to do. Abraham was called to leave his home, probably a good area to live in. Abraham was called to leave his family. Family ties were important in that culture. Abram was not brought up as a believer in Jehovah. His family was pagan, worshiping other gods. His new direction was strange and different from what he had seen in his family. Abraham was to head out on a trip whose destination he did not know. God would let him know when he got there. Abram was promised a family, and that just had not worked out so far. Perhaps you have been or are faced with challenges that could be described the same way. Impossible, uncomfortable, unforeseeable, without support of family or acquaintances. How could this be? I don't see how this is going to work out. What should be our response? Believe God and obey his words. Be like Abraham. Follow in the steps of this man of faith. Believe God and obey. This is possible for every child of God, because by faith in Christ we do have the promise of the Spirit of God. By his Spirit we can obey. And we do need to work at knowing God's words, that we know what to obey. That's an important task that we have. But another thing that we will do is we will worship God. As we continue on in chapter 12, we read that he arrived in Canaan. End of verse 5, they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abraham set out and continued toward the Negev. Abram worshiped God. He built an altar. Twice it mentions that. When he arrived in a certain place, he built an altar to the God who had appeared to him. To the one who had made these promises, he built an altar and worshiped God. We read in Hebrews that neither Abraham nor any of those in that list in Hebrews 11 saw the fulfillment of the promises made to them. They went through their entire lives. Did Abram see a great nation? No. Did Abram see the promises through his seed? No. But he trusted God and he worshiped God. We can respond in the same fashion. After explaining all the mercies of God in Romans 1 through 11, Paul encourages, beseeches the readers in chapter 12, verse 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice." That's what God wants in our response. He wants us to trust him, to place our trust. And he has used the example of Abraham in chapter 4. He has centered on the need of faith just as Abraham had. He has shown how God has given blessing by grace. It's nothing that's earned. And he says, on the basis of this, worship God. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to follow Abram's example. Believe what God has said. Obey what God says. And worship Him. Present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. It's our reasonable service. It's the logical thing to do. It's a spiritual act of worship. For those who are not children of God, the first step must be to come to God through Jesus Christ by faith. It will not be possible for you to obey God in your own strength. Jesus Christ, God the Son, took on flesh. He lived a sinless life and was crucified to pay the penalty of sin. And God raised Him from the dead, declaring that His sacrifice was sufficient. Believe that God has paid the penalty for your sin, and He will be faithful in forgiving you your sin. And He gives us what He has promised, His Spirit, to enable us to follow Him wholeheartedly. If there are any here this morning that do not know whether you are a child of God, please feel free to come up to me and speak with me about that. Turn to someone around you and ask. If you can't get to me, don't leave today without knowing for sure that you are a child of God. And for all of us who are children of God, let's consider Abraham. As Paul told his readers, consider Abraham and his life of faith, that we would respond in the same way. Believe what God has said and obey Him. And God will bless us, and I believe use us as well to be a blessing to others, as He has in the life of Abraham. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the examples of faith that are available in Your Word. But I thank You for the special example of Abraham. As we go through and read, and he stands out as one to whom You promised to make a blessing, and that through him all peoples of the earth would be blessed. I thank You that You have continued that story and has brought us all the way to the account of Christ. God taking on flesh to dwell among us and to bear our sin on the cross. We thank You for the life that we can have in Christ. And I pray that each person here would be certain that they by faith are Your children, having come to You through Jesus Christ. And for each of us, that we would truly respond in faith as we go through our lives following Christ, that we would walk by faith, trusting not ourselves, but trusting You, demonstrating that by obedience, presenting our whole lives to You as living sacrifices. May we worship You in all that we do and say, and bring You the glory and the praise which You deserve. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.